Okay, Rabbi Yisai. Today's daf is daf Tes Zayin. We're starting the new perek, new Mishnah on the bottom of Tes Vav Amid Beis. Look at the Mishnah. Ho'isha shenis arm la oisha nis garisha. A woman has now become, unfortunately, an almana. Or she got divorced. Makes no difference. What happens now? We have now a din toira. She says, I want to get paid my ksuba. Either the husband, or if the husband passed away, the yorshim, want to give as little as possible. So, here I met his besulin satsani. You remember when this wedding took place 25 years ago, 50 years ago, whenever it was, I was a psula. And so therefore my ksuba is 200. V'oimer loy, ki ela almana nisasicha. No, don't you remember? When you got married, you were already an almana. And therefore I only owe you 100. Now everybody's going to say, take out the ksuba and let's see what it says. So Rashi says, ushtara ksuba avad. It's been a long time since they got married, and the ksuba is lost. We don't know where the ksuba is. So, Ibazoi, you can't prove it from the shtar. He says, I owe you 100. She says, you owe me 200. What do you do? Says the Mishnah. If we have Adam that can tell us by, if you will, circumstantial evidence, that she was a psula, how can you tell? Because the minhag was that the psulais always wore a hinuma. What exactly is a hinuma? We're going to have a machloikis, me'at Hashem, not tomorrow, but on Sunday, as to what the definition of hinuma is. The second pshat, I think, is the more well-known pshat. The word hinuma comes from the term lehisnamnein, or tnuma. Hine layonim v'lo yishon shoy miYisrael. And it means to doze. And what it's referring to is the veil that the kallahs wear. Even today, in very religious circles, they have a very thick veil. And therefore, if the kallah was sitting in one place, or standing in one place with this thick veil, since she wasn't able to see anything, she might start dozing off. And that's how it got the name Hinuma, from Lushan of dozing. Okay. Or Rosha Perua. If she came to the chasana, and her hair was not covered. She was not wearing a shaitel, she was not wearing a tichel. And therefore, those are the telltale signs that this was a psula and not an almana. So then, ksuvasa basai. So if you have such adam, we're fine. Rabbi Yochum Abreika Oimer Af Chilik Lois, Raya. I have another Raya. When a psula got married, they used to go and give out toasted kernels of grain, which were equivalent today to Tzikalach. Tzikalach are candies. See, if you look at Rashi, the fourth line down below, Afchile Kloyes, Rikil Mayu Lechali Kloyes Latinoikois, Benisui HaPsulois. When the Psulois were getting married, they used to go and give out such candies. That's, symbolic that they should have a sweet life together. Anyway, that's also good Raya, and then she would win the case and she'd get 200. Now, the Gemara goes off totally on a tangent, nothing to do with our Mishnah, nothing to do with our Masechta. Rabbi Yeshua agrees that this field belonged to your father, and I bought it off from him. He is believed. Why? Now what does this have to do with anything? The Gemara is going to tell us it relates back to the previous parak, in which there was one case where there was a migui, and therefore Ram Gamliel said we believe the wife. Rabbi Yeshua says loy mepia anu chayim, and he dismissed the idea of that migui. And this migui, says Rabbi Yeshua, I agree with. We'll see much more about this in the Gemara as we go through. Pesha also shehit. The lashon of pesha also shehit means that the other individual didn't even know that there was a shaila that this property might have belonged to him at one time because it belonged to his father, his grandfather. This person who's saying Sada Zushal of Ichoisa, you should know this property used to belong to your father 25 years ago, and I bought it off of him. Hapesha Asa, he's the one that even introduced this whole issue, and he's the one that said, but there is no issue because I bought it. So we believe him. However, if the other fellow has Edom that in fact belong to his father, and the first guy says, I bought it off of your father, he's not believed unless he can go and show some sort of Edom or a shtar or something. We're going to get back to this a little later. We first talk about the beginning of the Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah that if there are Edom, Shiyotze Behinuma, or Roisha Perua, or Chiluk Kloyois, then she'll win the case. Taimadika Edom, Oleka Edom, Baal Mehama. But without the Edom, then he would be believed. Leimitanan Stamad Leikram Gamliel, Lechoyram Mishnah doesn't go like Ram Gamliel, Liram Gamliel, or Omar, E Mehemna. You remember in the previous parak, we had a series of Mishnayis, where each time Ram Gamliel says Ne'em Benes, and each time Rabbi Yeshua said Loi Mipio Anu Chayim, the fact that we have to have Edom in our Mishnah sounds like our Mishnah is not like Ram Gamliel, because Ram Gamliel would say we believe her Ne'em Benes. So tomorrow, no, you have no right. I feel the same Ram Gamliel. Our Mishnah can go according to Ram Gamliel as well. Ad Kanlik Amar Ram Gamliel Hosam. What did Ram Gamliel say over there? Meaning in the previous Mishnayis. That's only the case of Bari Vishema. What's meant Bari Vishema? That she said absolutely clearly, I want you to know I'm a Mukas Eitz. And the Chosin said, no, I'm afraid that you lived with someone. Or she says, Misharastani Ne'enasti. I became an Anusa after we were ready, Orus Ve'arusa. And he says, no, I don't believe you. I think it took place before the Erisin, and therefore it was a Mekach Toos, etc. You'll recall the Mishnayos that we had in the previous parak. In each one of those cases, she is a Bari. She knows for sure with whom she lived and when she lived and how she lost her Psulim. The husband is only speculating. The husband doesn't know for sure. And therefore, in each one of those cases, Ram Gamliel said, Bari Vishema, Bari Odif. Avalhoch in our Mishnah, the Bari Ubari, Loyomar. She is saying, don't you remember I was a psula when we got married 20 years ago? And the husband said, don't you remember you were an almana ugrusha when we got married 20 years ago? Each one is saying a tiny bari. In that case, even Rabbi Gamliel would have to agree, you need Edom to prove your case. So that being the case, I don't even understand what the shaila was. It's crystal clear in our Mishnah, Habari Ubarihu. She is saying, I was a psula. He is saying, he or the children are saying, that you were a v'ula, meaning you're an almana, it's a grusha, and therefore you're only entitled to 100. So, it's crystal clear. I don't even know what the Havambina was that the Gemara started off, Leima Deloy Krem Gamliel. Everything Gemara, no. Kim Droiv Nosham Psulois Nisois, Kibari Vishem Adami. The reason why I assumed in the Havamina that it's not like Ram Gamliel, because if you're talking about marriages, most marriages are Baruch Hashem first marriages. Unfortunately today, the statistics are not as favorable as they were many years ago. But many years ago, who did you ever hear of getting married a second time? You got married a second time, a person was 60, 70, 80 years old, and his wife passed away, or her husband passed away. So he had a Zivik Sheini. But otherwise, you know, people typically celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary and their 60th wedding anniversary and what have you. So that being the case, most marriages involve psulois. Therefore, I would think Yibari V'Shem Adami, even though he's saying, don't you remember you were an almana? We're going to discount what he says because she has a roiv on her side. Zakti Mora, that's why I thought the mission is not like Ram Gamliel. I have to tell you, therefore, we conclude that yes, it can go like Ram Gamliel after all, because it's not a Bari Vishema, it's a Bari Ubari. And the only way that she's going to win is if she's able to produce Edom, Shiyotze Behinuma. Sittimah Vachanam Mistavra. And I'll talk you, bring you yet another raya that the Mishnah can go even according to Ram Gamliel. Miritani, because the Mishnah concludes, Umoid Rabbi Yeshua, that Rabbi Yeshua agrees in the case of a field, that if he said that this used to belong to your father, and I bought it from you, and I bought it from him, then he's believed with him, Pesha Osir, Pesha Hit. So why does our Mishnah say Moed Rabbi Yeshua? Where does this come from? So says Gemara, if you're going to tell me that the Reish of the Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel says, although in the previous perek I kept on saying Amenes, 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 but in this case I hold, because it's a Bori, Ubori situation, here even Rabbi Gamliel would agree. So Rabbi Gamliel therefore is making a concession against his typical opinion in the previous perek. Eliyamris Liay Rabbi Gamliel, if you tell me that Rabbi Gamliel is not in our Mishnah at all, the whole Mishnah is Lamashal like Rabbi Yeshua, is Bamoida, so Rabbi Yeshua Laman Moida. So who is Rabbi Yeshua talking to? It sounds like Rabbi Yeshua is looking in the mirror and he's talking to himself. Because if we're saying that the beginning of the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Gamliel, we don't believe her. That means we hold like Rabbi Yeshua. That Rabbi Yeshua says, Loi mipia anu chayim. And that's why she has to bring Edom. So the first part of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yeshua. And now Rabbi Yeshua says, and by the way, I agree with me about the case of buying the field. What do you mean you agree with yourself? What's going on? And so therefore, L'choira have arrived at the beginning of the Mishnah is in fact like Rabbi Gamliel after all. Says Yimara, no, you have no raya. It could be that the whole Mishnah is Rabbi Yeshua. It's not Rabbi Gamliel. And this second part of the Mishnah, Misavas Rabbi Yeshua, I hyperkin koi. You think Rabbi Yeshua is going on this perek? In other words, he's having a dialogue with Rabbi Gamliel, and he's saying, okay, Rabbi Gamliel, you made a concession in our case, and therefore I make a concession in the case of the field. No! Amigu koi, vapirkin kama koi. Rabbi Yeshua is not... What we really should do is take our Mishnah and split it into two separate Mishnayas. And this should be Mishnah 2, where Rabbi Yeshua says, I'm Moida. What am I Moida to? Nothing in the first Mishnah of our Perek. He's going on the previous Perek. And on the previous Perek, where there was a discussion about a Migui, where there Rabbi Yeshua says, forget about the Migui. I discount the Migui. In our case, says Rabbi Yeshua, here the Migui is strong. It's Chai V'Kayim. So, Freitimar Ahai, which case are you talking about in the previous Perek that we have a Migui? And the Gemara now goes through a succession of four Mishnayos that we had in the previous perek, and it's going in reverse order. Last Mishnah first. Aha. Is he going on the final Mishnah where it said, we see that a single girl is pregnant. And we ask her, Nunu, who did you get pregnant from? So she said, from a person who was kosher. And so therefore, if and when I get married, this single lady says, I'm muteris likuhuna, because I married a person, I didn't marry, I lived with a person who is a kohen. Lav dafka kohen, we mean that he was a kosher individual. What does it say in the Mishnah? We believe her. And therefore, subsequently, she's allowed to marry a kohen. Rabbi Yeshua Aymer loy mipi anu chayim. No, we don't listen to her. Frank Timara, hasamai migui ikka. I don't see a migui either on the side of the young lady or on the side of the people that are asking, how did you get pregnant? From whom did you get pregnant? I don't see any migui there. Hari kreisa ben shinea. You know what we see? Kreisa ben shinea is an expression that anan sadi, all of us can go and testify that she's pregnant because we see the pregnancy in front of our eyes. We see that she is has an extended womb. So it has nothing to do with migui. Ella ha'ah must be talking about the previous case. What did it say in the previous case? Ra'um edaberes emechad. We saw that she was talking to someone. The amrullah, and we asked her, Mati v'shal ish zeh. Who is this person that you were talking to? And she says, ish ploini v'koyinu. It was an ish ploini koyin, meaning it was a kosher individual. Ram gamliv rablez oimim nemenes, we believe her. Rabbi Yeshua Aymer Loi Mipi Anu Chayim, we do not believe her. Frey Timara, Hasa Mai Migui Ikka. Again, what's the discussion of Migui? Now you remember when we learned that Mishnah, Ru'um Ideberes, we had a machlokes between Ze'iri and Rav Asi. What's the definition of Mideberes? Most women do not become pregnant just from talking to men. Talk is cheap. Talk doesn't impregnate. Ziri said, when we say medaberes, we mean that she spoke to someone beseiser, behind closed doors. When she could have said, you know what we were doing behind closed doors? We were learning together Tzena Ura'ena on the Chumash. Or we were preparing for the next Bikra Choylem luncheon. Or we were saying Tillim together. So, learn about it. Vik Amra, but she acknowledges, Nevalti, yes, I did have Bia. But you don't have to worry about it. The Bia was with a person who was of good kosher character, not the nicest tzaddik in the world, but nevertheless a person who was kosher. That's why she's mehemda. Oh, so that's the case where there is a migoy. I understand. El Ravasi di Omamai Medeberes. Niveles. Remember, Ravasi said that the word Medeberes really means niveles. And he brought a pasuk, Achla Umachsapia. And therefore it was, this Lashon Medeberes is a Lashon Nikia. But it really means niveles that we had Edim that saw that she had a bia. Ra'uha. How does the Mishnah begin? Ra'uha medaberes. We saw her. In other words, two Edim said we saw her have bia. So my migriyeka. There's no migri involved over there. So to whom and to what with Rabbi Shua being moide that in this case of Pesha Asa, Pesha Hitter, it's different. It must be talking about on the following case. Again, this is even an earlier Mishnah in the previous parak. Here in Meretz Mukas Eitz Ani, she says, I'm a Mukas Eitz. And that's why there are no psulim. Vuoy maloi ki eletrusis ish at. The reason why you don't have psulim is because you lived with a man. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lezer, Oymrim Ne'emenes, she's believed. After all, she knows what the circumstances were. Rabbi Shua, Oymrim Eloim Pino Nuchayim. We don't listen to what she has to say. And in all likelihood, or at least there's a possibility, that drusis ish. Again, hasam my migui ikka. What would be the migui over there? She says, "You are bish loy mulir ablaza di amr b'manav leiklum migui di baya amr mukas eitzan itachtecha." The Islam Masai, the kamer meikar the less law elamana mehamna. Oh, okay. According to ablaza, I can see where there is a migui. Where is the migui? Because she said that I'm a mukas eitz, and if I'm a mukas eitz, that means I'm only entitled to 100. However, she acknowledges that she was a mukas eitz even before the chasana took place, even before the erusin took place. And therefore, the husband says, you don't deserve anything. It was a mekach toz. If I would have known that you had no psulim, I never would have done erusin with you. So that's the mon of a leiklum, that she says that this took place pre-erusin, and therefore I deserve 100. Because Hamukas Eitz gets 100, according to Machlokes from Meir and Rabbanon. And like Kluman, he says, no, at the time of Erisin, you were already a Mukas, you were a Drusas Ish, and therefore, you get nothing. Says Yimara, there is a Migri. The Migri is the Ibaya Amra Mukas Eitz Anitach Techa. She could have said, I only became a Mukas Eitz post Erisin, and therefore, at the time of Erisin, I was a full-fledged Psula. The Islam Assignment, I get 200. Vika Amra Meikara, and she acknowledges that this took place pre-Erisin, the last law Elamana, that she would normally only get 100. So therefore Mehemna, we will believe her with that migra that she gets the 100. According to Yochanan, that the discussion between the husband and wife is that she says, I deserve to get 200. And the husband says, no, since you're Mukasei to Drusas Ish, you only get 100. My migui ikka. So what's the migui? She couldn't have said it happened tachtecha or it happened pre-erisin, because in all cases you get the same 200. There's no difference. So then there's no migui. So again, which is the case in the first perek that Rabbi Shua says, although over there I did not subscribe to the migui, but in our case I do. Oh, this is now the first Mishnah in those four Mishnayas. It says, Anoisis Isha Vlemotzla Psulim. Person marries a woman and there were no Psulim. He marries Misharastani Ne'enasti Vinistach Vasadeu. When I was in Arusa a year ago, I was perfect. I had Psulim, no problem. Unfortunately, post the Erisin Ne'enasti, somebody forced himself on me and violated me. Vinistach Vasadeu, and it's your field that got flooded, which is an expression mazloch goram. It's your problem. V'oymer, he says, loy, ki ela achle arasticha. This took place already pre-Erisin. And therefore, at all times, you were a be'ula. And therefore, I don't want to give you anything because of the fact that mekach toys. Now, the Isha who says Mishirastani Nanasti has a migui. What's the migui? Migui by Amra Mukas Eitzani Tachtecha Toi Kapasla Nafshe Mikahuna. If instead of saying after the Erisin I was Nanasti, I was the victim of a violation, so then she could have said a better taina. She could say, I wasn't the victim of anyone. Nebuchadnezzar, there was a terrible accident. Mukas Eitzani. And this would have been a much better taina. Why is that a much better taina? Because if you Mukas Eitz, she doesn't passel herself from a koyin. She is still a psula, halachic psula, even though not a physical psula, but she's halachic psula. V'ka'oma nenasti, and instead she says, I was nensa, v'kaposla nafshe mikahuna. Now she does passel herself from kehuna. Says Gamliel, she has a bona fide migui. Instead of saying nanasti, she could have said mukaseitzani. Since, however, she said nanasti, she is believed with a migui. Become Rabbi Shulam Gamliel. Behind migui the hacha, my dina loch. The migui in our Mishnah, case of that I bought the property from Yankel's father. There I believe him. However, in the migui, in the previous parak, there I disagree with you. And now the Gemara, so we have Baruch Hashem concluded this part of the Gemara, where we're trying to figure out what is this Moider Rabbi Yeshua all about. We have our answer. Rabbi Yeshua says, even though in the case of Misharasticha Ne'enasti, I do not follow the migui that she could have said Mukas Eitzani. But in our Mishnah, there I do agree to Mukas Eitzani. I do agree to the Migui. Frey Timora, Mechte, Hai Migui, Vahai Migui. Both cases are Miguis. Maishna, Hai Migui, Mehai Migui. Manishtana, Ha Migui, Azem, Mikol, Ha Miguis. Why is this Migui in our Mishnah different? Everything I'll tell you why. Hocha Ein Shor, Shochel Fenecha, Hasam Hari Shor, Shochel Fenecha. What does the Gemara mean to say? This, of course, Shor, Shochel Fenecha, is an expression, and it's trying to tell us, here, there are facts that I have to deal with. If you find a shor, which is geshachted in front of you, you start asking, who shechted it? How did he shecht it? Does he know how to do shechita? When did this take place? You start asking a whole bunch of questions. However, if there is no shor shoch lefenecha, then you don't ask any questions. In the case of the young lady, who the man says, uh-oh, I see you have no psulim. What happened? That's a shor shoch lefenecha. She agrees that there are no psulim. The only question is, what were the circumstances? She says that I was the victim of a masa oinis, and the husband says, no, I think that you lived with someone already pre-erisin. But there's obviously an issue that we have to address, and that's the shor shoch lefenecha. Says Reb Yeshua, in those types of circumstances, I do not agree with a migui. But in our case, there happens to be a piece of property here on the corner of 91st Street and West End Avenue. I don't know who it belongs to. I see that there is an international realty company that's in charge of it. I assume that international realty has owned this property for the last 1,000 years. What do I know? And now the person who's the president and chairman of the board of international says, oh, you don't know? This property used to belong to your father 25 years ago, and I bought it off him. Oh, your father was such a wonderful person. Nebuchadnezzar passed away, I felt so bad, but I bought it from him. Now, the son of that father says, I knew nothing. Nobody said a word. I didn't know that this belonged to my daddy. I didn't know anything. So that's what we mean that it's Ein Shor Shoch Lefanecha. The fact that the chairman of the board of International Realty decided to go and open up a box that was never opened until now. Nobody even thought, nobody challenged, nobody asked. We always thought it belonged to him for the last 1,000 years. So therefore, that's what we call a Pesha Asa, Pesha Iter, since he's the one that opened up the box. And now he says, but Rabbi Isai, there's nothing to worry about. I bought it fair and square years ago. It belongs to me. So what's the other guy going to say? Oh, now that you told me that it belonged to my father, prove it. That's what we call a migoy, a pesha asahu, a pesha iter, that we don't have to, or that even Rabbi Shua would agree to that migoy. We don't ask any questions, unless, of course, the son says, oh, once you open this box, maybe I have Edom. That's the end of the Mishnah. If he does have Edom, he'll have to prove that he took a boy from him. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara, that's the conclusion of the discussion with Moedei Rabbi Shua. Now we go back to the earlier part of the Mishnah. Earlier part of the Mishnah says that if she wants to win 200 under her ksuba, she's going to have to prove it by bringing Edom. We said at the top of the Omid that most women get married when they happen to be psulais. So what do you need to come on to the Edom? Why don't you just go basarayv? She says that I got married when I was a psula. The husband says, or the Yorshim say, you got married when you were an almana. Let's assume that there are no Edom at all. It was, if you will, a private ceremony. You didn't have 1,000 people there like you have today at the chasanis. So, why don't we believe her? Since roiv and noshim besuleis nisois, let's go basa roiv. So, kli also Edom I have, who cares? Your Edom, nisht Edom, just follow the roiv. Omer, then I'll tell you why. Mishum deikal ameim roiv noshim besuleis nisois. You're right. Roiv tak besuleis. Mir is almanis. However, v'chol hanis is psula. The Gemara uses the term v'chol hanis is psula. Whoever marries a psula, yesh v'kol. Rashi says, what means yesh v'kol? Har b'yoidim shiyotz b'inuma. The word gets around very quickly. Anytime there's a shidduch and somebody gets married, they talk about it. Oh, did you hear? Your uncle got engaged to Sprinza. Really? And when's the chasana? Oh, the chasana's going to be in this and this day. Oh, I can't wait. Well, the chasana's going to be in Australia. Oh, then I can wait. I'm not going to go to Australia. Anyway, but the point is that there's a call. The word gets around pretty quickly. Oh, getting married. Oh, mazel tov. It's wonderful. The first time. The psula. Great. Blah, 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 blah. And therefore, says Yimara, the zoo. And in our case, hoy the ein lakol. What's ein lakol? If there are no Edom that can come to the plate, to the bezin, and say, we saw her coming out bihinuma with a veil that indicates that she is a psula. Israel aruba. So the roiv has now been undermined. If there was only a roiv, you're right. However, because there are no Edom that are willing to come to the scene, no Edom, come in. I have no Edom. You don't have any Edom that you have in Numa. Everybody would have known about it. Every psula yesh lakol. And therefore, that's why you got to bring Edom. Without Edom, I'm afraid that the roiv falls away. Frati Mara, you said on the Amud Aleph, Ikol and this is psula yesh lakol. If you're telling me that every time that there is a chasan with a psula, there's a kol. Ki also Edom I have. If now Edom come out of nowhere and they say, oh, we know, we saw Binuma, what do you mean? Hanach sadi shakrin, you know. Perhaps these Edom are shakranim. Because if they are not shakranim, then how come there's not a kol? I mean, everybody in town should know about it. We should be able to have 100 Edom lined up saying, sure, I know, of course, Yankel and Sprinzer, there was a long courtship, and I remember the chasana was so beautiful, I remember who the caterer was, and the flowers were so beautiful, 21-man band. How come there was only 2 Edom? So I have to worry about maybe these Edom are Mishakrim. Elam Ravina, I'm going to change my language. Not ki kol anis is psula, but rather, roiv anis is psula yesh lakol. Most of the time when a psula gets married, there is a kol. Everybody knows. However, this particular lady, since there are no kol going around, they don't have Edom, they don't have people talking about it. Israel Arubas, the roiv that you normally have of roiv psula's size, that falls away. Therefore, you want to prove your case, young lady, bring Edom that you were a psula by circumstantial evidence. If they saw Hinuma, or they saw the Chiluk Kloyois, or they saw Roisha Perua, any one of the things that we mentioned in our Mishnah. Zog Dimar, Remember we said Namish is talking about a case that there was no shtar, no ksuba. Ovan shtar ksuba, Rashi said in the Mishnah. It was lost. And therefore it's lost, you have to bring Eidim. Frey Timor Valeichi Shtol Mafke Eidim Bahai Beidina Begavia Behod Mafke Lo Leksuba Bahai Bezdin Begavia. But why don't we be concerned that perhaps either this lady, unfortunately, is a lady of deceit or deception, or maybe we have a case of a missing shtar. She's going to try to collect twice. She comes into Bezin today and says, Ovad shtari, I don't have any shtar ksuba, but I do have two edim, even have 10 edim, shiyotzes b'inuma, I want to collect my ksuba. And Bezin will say, okay, I have 10 edim, shiyotzes b'inuma, all kosher edim, she gets her 200, goodbye. And guess what happens? And then a week later, she's going to go to another Bezdin across the street, and she's going to say, hey, here's my ksuba. What happened the first week? The first week, either she bona fide, she lost the ksuba, but Baruch Hashem, now she found it. Or, in fact, she just made up a story that I can't find my ksuba. And now she's going to collect a second time. Oy, 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 what are we going to do? Amr bavoz, oy, semeres, kois, and shoyver. From this we see that the halacha is you have to go and write a shoyv, you have to write a receipt. The reason why Rabbi Vo uses this expression, zoyse meres, because we'll see in another line, it's not so simple. In the good old days, having and holding on to receipt was a burden. Why was it a burden? Says Rashi, because the achborim are the mice, they used to go and apparently like to eat shtarois, and they would chomp on the paper or on the papyrus or whatever it was written on, and therefore any person who had a receipt had to go and buy a safe or a vault or something to make sure that the mice could not get to it. And this is just a big headache, a big burden. But says Rabbi Vo, but have no choice. Anytime, like our Mishnah says, she collected based on Eidim by saying, I lost my shtar, we believe her, she lost her shtar, we pay her. If after that, a week later, or a month later, or a year later, oh, I got my ksuba here, I never collected, she'll collect a second time. So therefore, to prevent that possible deception, or that possible error, go and give a receipt to the husband, or to the yarshim, that the ksuba was paid, so I don't have to worry about a double collection. Rapapa, no, you have no raya. The mokish ain't koisun ksuba skinan. Our Mishnah is really talking about a place where they don't write a ksuba. Not that the ksuba was lost. In that place, they didn't write ksuba. Why didn't they write a ksuba? Says Rashi, because they relied on the takonas chazal that a psula gets 200 and almana gets 100. So they just relied on that, period. Nothing more to talk about. Right? And therefore, that's the reason why you don't have to worry that she's going to take out a ksuba a second time in another bezin, because there is no ksuba to take out, plain and pashut. The Gemara is going to ask subsequently, what stops her from collecting twice by taking out two pairs of Eidim? Today, she comes into bezin with one pair of Eidim and collects once, and in 3 months from now, she'll go to another bezin with another pair of Eidim and collect a second time. So the Gemara is going to discuss that a little bit further down. There are others that quoted the same discussion that we just had now. That Rabbi Vo says, Zoyse meres koisvin shoiver, and Rabbi Papa says, they went and said the same back and forth, the same shakla v'tariya, not on our Mishnah, but on the following braisa. What does it say in the braisa? Zok de braisa, ibda ksuvasa, hitminu ksuvasa, nisrva ksuvasa. A lady had a ksuba, but it got lost, or it got hidden, or it got burned. Roktu Fanel. She comes to Bezin and says, but I was a psula, and I want to collect 200. The husband says, you are almana, you only get 100. She says, our braisa. What happens if she brought Eidim, that Roktu Fanel, that they did a lot of dancing in front of the kala, like you would typically find only by a psula? Or Sachaku Fanel. They were really, they had a batchin, and they had jokers and musicians, and people were really making a big, big simcha. Havira lefanea kois shel psura, or they brought in front of her a kois shel psura. We'll see on the bottom of the Amid that bringing forth a kois shel psura was one of those signs that she was a psula and not an almana or a ba'ula. Or they brought a mapeshel psulim. They brought the actual towel that would have been used on the bed of the husband and wife, and they showed that it was full of dam, and therefore it's a ride that she was a psula. If her edim about any of these, the rachtel lefaneh, sachakul lefaneh, etc., ksuvasa masayim. So in other words, it's very similar to our Mishnah. In our Mishnah it said if you have edim about yotze b'hinuma, she is believed. Here we're saying if you had edim that rachtel lefaneh, etc., she's believed. Same question as we asked on our Mishnah. Who stops this young lady? Since we said Ibdiksuvasa and this is for Ksuvasa, what stops her from coming into the first Bezdin on Monday and saying, I want to collect my 200? And then 2 weeks later, a month later, she'll say, hey, guess what? I have my Ksuba in hand. Because after all, the first case is Ibn Ksubasa, she lost it. And now she found it. And she's now going to collect a second time, the Gaviba. What stops her? And again, the same Machloikas and Rebavo, Zoysemeres Koisvin Shoiver, that she has to write out a receipt for her husband, for her former husband, or for the Yarshin, saying in the receipt, I got my 200. This way, they won't be able to collect a second time. She won't be able to collect a second time. Rebop Omar, no. You don't write a shoiver. It's tumah b'mokim she'en koisvin ksuva askinan. We're talking about a place where they don't write out a ksuva. And since they don't write out a ksuva, you don't have to worry about that she's going to come back in 2 weeks with a ksuva. They didn't write a ksuva, so there's nothing to be concerned about. Frey Timora, 1 second. That teretz worked with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah doesn't say what happened to the ksuva. But in this brayse, it starts off, ib de ksuvasa. Are you listening to what we're talking about? She says, I lost my ksuba. That means it was a ksuba. No, if there was a ksuba and you're going to allow her to collect today, then she might come back in 3 months and I got my ksuba, I want to collect. And it'll be in a different bezin. We won't know that she already got paid. Everything went to Kosov La'il. In this town, the truth of the matter is, people did not write ksubas, like we said before. However, here we're talking about a case where they did write a ksuba. Normally they don't, but in this case, the husband said, you know what, darling, I'm going to write a ksuba for you, so you'll have it. You don't have to be nervous, you don't have to be worried, here's a ksuba. So Frey Timora, okay, so we're back to square one. Soif mafkala the gaviyaba. I still have that problem, that if she's going to collect once, and then after that she's going to go into another bezdin, with the ksuba that she finds, she's going to collect a second time. Afterward, my ibda b'ur. When the brisa began saying that the ksuba was lost, it means it was lost in a terrible fire, and it's lost forever. There's no way that she can take out the ksuba in a month from now or 2 weeks from now because it's burned to a crisp. Saktimara. That doesn't sound right. Because look how the brisa began. Ibda ksuvasa. Hitmina ksuvasa. Nisrafa ksuvasa. So these seem to be three separate scenarios. If you're going to tell me ibda ksuvasa means that it was burned to a crisp, ihochayna nisrafa, that's the exact same thing as nisrafa. Vioid. Forget about ibda. Hitmina my ikalameima. Since the second case is that the ksuba is hidden, what happens when it comes out of hiding? In other words, they were married for many, many years, and they, of course, collected a lot of stuff throughout the years, and her ksuba got buried somewhere in one of the back file cabinets. But 3 months after he passed away, she was, throwing things away, going through old files, etc., etc., and she came across the ksuba. No, so again, we have this shaila. If she's going to allow it to collect today, based on two aden, and she's going to get the money, what stops her from coming back in a month from now with the ksuba that she found, and she's going to collect a second time? So l'choira, Rebavo is correct, you always write a shoiver. But Rav Papa said, no, you don't write a shayver. So what stops her from collecting a second time? Zuktimar Vesu, Ibda Lamali. Why do you have to go and say the word Ibda at all? If Ibda means Nisrafa, like you said, that it was burned, Shteitach Nisrafa. Therefore, Eloh, says the Gemara, we're going to interpret the Braisa a little bit differently according to Rav Papa. Eloh kol Ibda ki etmina b'faneinu dami. We start off the Braisa again. The Braisa starts off Ibda ksuvasa and etmina ksuvasa. And what the Gemara tells us is that you stop, you put a full exclamation point after etmina ksuvasa, that's the end. That if she says Ibda ksuvasa, it has the same status as Hitmina Ksuvasa. And what is that? V'lo yahavina lo. We're not going to give her a penny. Ad the Amri Edim Nisrafa Ksuvasa. Unless and until Edim come and say it wasn't just that it was lost, but it was destroyed in a terrible fire 5 years ago. Don't you remember Mr. and Mrs. Smith 5 years ago had a terrible fire in their basement? And that fire destroyed files and a lot of precious possessions. One of the things that was burned was the ksuba. Oh, you have Nisr ksubasa. Man, there's no ksuba left. Then we're going to rely on Edim. And now we don't have to worry about that she's going to come a second time into Bezin and take out a ksuba. Because I have Edim that the ksuba was burned. So Lamaisa, now that we've concluded this shtickle Gemara, what's the difference between the first version and the second version? The first version we had the same Shaila, she might come back a second time with her so-called lost and found Ksuba and collect a second time. That was a Kasha that we asked on Rav Papa from our Mishnah. And then we have the same thing here vis-a-vis this Braisa. Same discussion. Mishnah, we said above all, says it's talking about Koisvin. Shoiver, Rav Papa said, Mawakim Sh'ein Koisvin Ksuva. And the same machloik is again here in the Braisa. So Timora, Man de Maslo a Braisa Kolshkin Amastis. Whoever is Goyris, like the second Pshat in our Gemara, he could learn that the same discussion took place vis-a-vis the Mishnah. Or Man de Maslo a Masnisin. But whoever said that the discussion applies to the Mishnah, Avla Braisa Loi. Here he would say, no, I wouldn't have this quotation, I wouldn't have this machloikis v'bavo and Rav Papa vis-a-vis the Braisa. Kikushya. Because what did Rav Papa say in his answer? He said, v'mokim she'ein koisvin ksuba. That works perfectly with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is silent as to the status of the ksuba. So therefore Rav Papa says, you know why it's silent? Because there was no ksuba. They didn't write a ksuba. And therefore you don't have to worry about a shoiver. There was no ksuba written in the first place. But in the Braisa, there it says, Ibda ksuvasa, hitmina ksuvasa, there was a ksuba. So therefore we had to go and give a teretz that Ibda is like mina, and you don't get paid. If you have Edim Nisrafa, etc., etc. That of course was a whole extended discussion. And that's why our Gemara says, those that learn that the discussion applies to the Mishnah, they would not say the discussion on the Braisa, because in the Braisa it's a much more difficult and attenuated pshat. Okay, now, Freitig Mar, what we already asked before. Let's assume Taka like Rav Papa. There is no ksuba. Fine, but Velechish, Tzukti Mar, Im Yesh Eidim, Velechish Dilma Mafke Eidi Numa Bahai Bezin, Vegavya. Why can't you go and have another chash? According to Reb Avo, you never have to worry. Once you pay, you give a receipt. Once there's a receipt, you can't collect a second time. Can you go and collect a second time on a note or a loan document where the borrower says, I have a receipt, you signed it, that I paid you already. You have a receipt. But according to a papa that says, no, we don't write out shoivrim, and we're talking about Mokim She'en Koisin Ksuva, assuming that there is no Ksuva. Fine, no Ksuva. You're right. But what happens if on Monday the young lady brings to Edim that she got married, Bihinuma, therefore she was a Psula, and she collects. 3 months later she comes on a Thursday to another Bezin, brings two other Edim who were at the Chasana, that all to say, I came out Bihinuma, and she collects again. If you're not writing out a receipt, She can collect multiple times. I'm not worried that she's going to take out a ksuba because her papa said we're talking about makim she ain't koisim ksuba. But what stops her from collecting a second time based on another pir of Eidim? Theoretically, even the same pir of Eidim, but in another bezdin. Every more of a makim doli efshir vadi kasvin and shayver. You're right. If you're talking about a large city, place like New York, where there have their 20 batei dinim, 50 batei dinim, you're right. She could go theoretically collect numerous times, and therefore the bezdin would say you gotta write a receipt. Because otherwise tomorrow or next week, Gesundheit, Brother Shai, she's going to go across the street or across the borough to another bezdin. However, in a case where it's a small shtetl, you only have 25 families in the whole shtetl, and therefore there's only one bezdin, that one bezdin only opens up once a month, because Baruch Hashem, there are no dintaritis, there are no gittin, everything is nice and quiet, so once a month they open for business for about 5 minutes. So then you don't have to worry that she's going to go to another bezin and she's going to be goyva with other Aden. And therefore you don't have to go and write out a shoiver. But if there are multiple batei dinim and she might try to collect multiple times, you're right. Everybody would agree, even Rabbah, the kosvinan shoiver. Okay, in our Mishnah we said, what is the circumstantial evidence that the Aden can testify to that we know for a fact that she was a psulim? How? Yotze b'hinuma, or the chiluk kloyois, or roisha perua. But in the Brayse, it gave other examples, like kois shel psura. Fetima, my kois shel psura. What's made this kois shel psura? So, Omer avada barahava, kois yayin shel truma ma'avirin lefanel. At the chasana, when the kala is sitting down, we're going to go and pass by with a kois of yayin shel truma. What does that mean? Since she is a psula, she was never married. If she were to marry a kohen, even if this chosin was only a yisrael or a lady, however, if she would have wanted to marry a kohen, if her chosin was a kohen, she could have drunk truma. Why? Because she's a psula. No problems. So that would be the raya that she's a psula. Even if she were an almana, she's also entitled to go and drink or eat from truma. The only time she can't go and take from truma if she was a gerusha. But if she was an almana, no problem. So how do we have it on Mishnah? That she says, I got married when I was a psula. And the husband says, no, you were an almana. Oh, let's bring the koishu psura Aden. Eidim, do you remember that? Yeah, I remember the Koishul Psura. That doesn't prove that she was a Psula. Maybe she was an Almana. The reason why she's allowed to go and drink or eat Truma, because of the fact that she was only an Almana and not a Grusha. So, what's the Raya? Elomer Papa, the Koishul Psura is Zu Rashis, Kitruma Rashis. As we know, the Torah doesn't refer to the word Truma. It says, Rashis digoncha tiroishcha viyitzarecha. Vereshis geis tzoncha titanlai. We call that truma. However, the Torah refers to it as rashis. The reason why we bring this koishul truma, as we're saying, just like this truma is rashis, for this young lady, this is going to be the first time that she is going to have intimate relations with a man, meaning with her husband. So therefore, truma doesn't mean that she's roi to kahuna. It means rashis, that this is the first time that she's married, first time that she's going to have a beer. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it wasn't a kois shel yayin, but a chavya shel yayin avirin lefanel. It was a chavya shel yayin. And here doesn't say that it was yayin shel truma. The minog, I guess, in Rabbi Yehuda's town, or where he lived, was that they would take a chavya shel yayin. Chavya, of course, is a large barrel of wine, and that's mavirin lefanel. Now, what does that tell you? If it's not truma, so what is a barrel? So, people, until the Gemara gives the teretz, they had us over a barrel as to what was the significance of this koishel or this chavishel yayin. So, Amar Avada Bar Hava psula mavirin lefanel stuma beulam mavirin lefanel psucha. In all chasanis, at all chasanis, they would go and pass by with a chavis, with such a barrel of wine.
The only question is, was the barrel sealed or was it open? If it was a sealed barrel, that means that she was a psula, that she still had her psula, and she was sealed down below. If she was a ba'ula, then they would go have an open cask of wine because of the fact that she's also open down below. Frey Timora, why do you have to have in the case of the ba'ula that they took in front of her a chovius, which was psucha? Let's make life easy. Amai never kami psula. Let's only have the chovius shel yayin lifaneha when she's a psula. The kami ba'ula never klal. And by ba'ula don't have the chovius shel yayin. And that would be much simpler. And in fact, it would be, if you will, a little bit more tzniistic. Because to have, in both cases, psula and ba'ula, always taking by a chovius shel yayin, this one is open and this one is closed, it's not such a... However, if you only have the chovius shel yayin by the case of the psula, fine. So everybody knows she's a psula and finished. And just like we have those other simanim of yotzeh b'hinuma and the chiluk kloyos, etc., etc., here too, we're going to have this simen that she's a psula because they had the chovius shel yayin. So don't take a chovius shel yayin at all by the ba'ula. I see Shelly has a comment.
Yeah, she had him over a barrel.
She had him over a barrel, exactly. Ah, beautiful, beautiful comment. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, so why don't we just have the chovius shel yayin by a psula and not have a chovius at all by a ba'ula? Everything, I'll tell you why. Because zimnin the tofsa masayim the amra ano psula hava. You know what? She's going to come to the estate after all. Her husband passed away, or the husband just gave a get, and she grabs 200 and she puts it in her pocket, and she's going to say, "I was a psula." You're going to go and bring Aiden that they didn't bring that big barrel of wine in front of me. V'haigli overkamoi isnusi hu disnisu. They had every intention of bringing the barrel of wine. However, there was a big oinus. What was the big oinus? Says Rashi, those people that were going to carry in front of her the barrel of wine, they became shikr. They drank wine. And when you drink wine, and you drink it in large quantities, you're no longer sober. So, at that given moment at 11 o'clock at night, when typically it was customary for, I guess, some of the chaverim or shushbinim to go and bring by that barrel, all of them were lying on the floor. They were all shikr. And therefore, there was an oinus. So the fact that they didn't bring a barrel of wine is not a raya. That's what our Gemara is telling us is, that's why they had the minig always to bring the barrel of wine. If the barrel of wine was sealed, we knew that she was a psula. If the barrel of wine was not sealed, we knew that she was a ba'ula. Rabbi said, we're going to stop over here. And Yatshem, Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, I wish everyone a Freilich and Lachtig and Shabbos, and I thank you all for joining us. And I wish Barry a Refuah Shleima, Shabbos Yom Lizik, a Fia Kriv Elohim. Zagimich. Yes, Brother Shai.
I'm going to Rapapa Shita here, where it's talking about that they don't write the Suva. Then the Gemara asked, well, she'll bring witnesses that she had, and said, no, she did have it, and she can collect multiple promises. The Gemara answers, so we have to write a Shover. So, when does Rapapa's parents ever make a difference? You're always going to have that issue, are you not?
And Rapapa says that if you have Rapapa says we discourage the writing of receipts because that only is a burden to the individual. What is the burden? The burden is the fact that he's going to have to go and be shoymer minu achbarim. He's going to have to go and protect it from the achbarim, from the mice. So typically, don't write a shoyver. But I've had no other choice. If there happens to be, if I live in a large city like New York, with a 20 batei dinim, and the lady might collect multiple times, first in this bezin, and then tomorrow in another bezin, and next week in another bezin. You're right, under those circumstances, there has to be a receipt. But if you live in a little town with only 10 families, and there's only the bezin only opens for business once a year or something like that, then you don't need a shayver because she can't collect more than once. She's going to go to another town, the town will say, hey, why don't you go and collect locally? We know where you're from. Go to your bezin. Why are you coming to our bezin? So they'll smell that there's some sort of a deceit or deception or trickery. Okay?
Yeah.
Jesse, regards from your father, Butch. I'm sorry, Brother Shai?
Thank you.
You're welcome. 802 Shkoyach. Okay, and 9 o'clock in Mitzvah Sunday morning. Hopefully, we'll have a good connectivity. Bracha v'atzlocha to everyone. Zayge ben Zayge.
Kelly Fine, are you available to join us at Borgen Shiva on Sunday morning at 7?